that has not been my role because I'm not on those committees, you know, basically, and we don't even have a development committee. How is it that a huge organization like Pacifica doesn't have a development committee? It's not my fault that you guys don't have it. Let's start one, you know, and then we could actually address it. I know that Sabrina wanted to do work on the development, and she was just shut down. I mean, it's bizarre to me that we have all other membership organizations do fundraising off the air in many ways. I'm not saying that we don't need to do fundraising on air. We should do that. But we have to expand what we do with big donor funding. And no one, you know, I'm not in the role as a board member to do that, but we need an executive director who's willing to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If there's a second round, I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay. Lawrence was on the stack next. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. And thank you for postulating yourself, Robin. But I have some difficulties. Were you on the strategy committee?
Yes, I was on the strategy committee, and it didn't seem to go anywhere, basically.
Did you try to advocate for proposals and proposals that you had, ideas?
Because
in the absence of a development committee, we have the strategy committee. I guess that's the closest thing to a development committee. And if you were on it, and you know, and this the absence of development committee, then I would think that I would advocate. I mean, you have great ideas and you have great experience. I just don't understand why you didn't put anything forward, and just getting frustrated. And then my other question is, I don't believe you answered Grace's question when she said, do you still support taking BAI off the air and, you know, putting it somewhere else like it was before? So the whole network is having problems. As I said before, that, you know, four stations should not beat up on one station. So I think that's bullying. So I still haven't heard an answer from Grace's question. And I also like to hear an answer in regards to why didn't you put any proposals forward when you were on the strategy committee? Thank you.
I definitely did talk about what you're talking about. I mean, I did talk about these things, but in the early part of the time, I was focusing on getting the affiliates as an independent unit, and so that was a lot of my emphasis, because I thought that's what I'm an affiliate director, you know, so that's what I'm focusing on. Later on, there were discussions. I can't be specific about it. You know, I wasn't the chair of the meeting. I didn't set the agendas. So, and then we haven't met for quite a while now, so I don't know what's happened with the Strategic Planning Committee. As far as BIA, I don't have a solution for BIA, but they've got to raise money. They've got to be able to pay their payroll. If you don't have any money to pay the payroll, how can you keep operating? You give me the answer to that. I don't know what the answer is.
What's your position on the bylaws amendment?
I'm against the bylaws. It eliminated staff representation and affiliate representation. I think it was a big mistake. And that's one of the reasons that we formed the Association of Affiliates, so that we could put in this coming year an amendment to either our existing bylaws or to, if this passes, to amend that. But I thought it was very unwise to eliminate staff and affiliate representation.
Thank you, Robin.
All right. I would like to ask a question myself. Mr. Collier, what plans would you suggest that Pacifica develop in order that can help undo the damage done by the unauthorized and illegal shutdown of WBAI? And I can give you a lot of facts about that, some of that damage. We have still not completely assessed the extent of that damage. So could you explain to
someone
me what,
needs to mute
what you... Yes, could you explain what you would do to help undo the damage caused by the shutdown of WBAI? Thank you.
Well, first of all, you're going to have to get more listeners, and you're going to have to stop this crazy fundraising. You're not going to get out of the hole of the last 10 years of management if you don't change your programming and your fundraising. And until, you know, the LSB and the management makes that decision, you're going to go deeper and deeper into debt. And I don't have a solution to it. You know, that's why we want this mediation. I tried to work with Chris Corey.
You did not answer my question.
Well, I don't have a – you think I personally am going to solve all the financial problems of Pacifica?
I'm asking you for your suggestions.
Just gave my suggestion. Get more listeners, change your programming, and stop doing medical premium programming.
Okay. We'll go on to the next candidate then.
Is this time finished?
I think it is. Timekeeper, do we have any more time on this item?
1 minute.
Martha?
10 seconds.
1 minute? Oh, okay. I think Dwayne wanted to have another question. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm really concerned.
Put hot water on, go outside and hit it on the sidewalk. I just hit it on the floor.
Can everybody please mute themselves?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I mean, Robin, I'm hearing excuses. And what I want to know specifically with your experience is that what specifically would you have the foundation do to raise funds without, you know, just the general industry? Because you seem to have raised money, whether it was millions, hundreds of thousands, or tens of thousands. And I know that I put 4, 2, or 3 suggestions, well, 1 in writing in the last 2 years. It went nowhere. So I can feel you on that. But I wasn't in the majority. You've been in the majority, and you had the ears of the chair and the vice chair. Sabrina was the vice chair. So what specifically will you do in January, February, and March to use your experience to push forward some tens of thousands of dollars for the foundation?
Well, we can finish the audit.
Make your response quick because we're almost out of time.
We can finish the audits and get our nonprofit status protected. We should be doing major donor development all across the country. There's lots of people that if we were on stable governance, we could get donors.
But I'm not talking about if. But thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Collier. The next affiliate director candidate is Heather Gray. Heather, you have the floor.
Oh, well, thank you, Alex. So where to begin with this? Okay, so I have been on the board of directors of WRFG in Atlanta since 1992 and was chair of the board for a while. As far as fundraising is concerned, that's one of the things that I needed to do when I was chair of the board, actually, was to raise the money for our tower move. That was major. That was in the early 2000s. But I just want to talk a little bit about my background. So I've been an organizer in the South for a long time, since the 70s and 80s. I was the director of the nonviolent program for Coretta Scott King at the King Center in the 1980s. But most of my work actually has been in cooperative economic development with the Federation of Southern Cooperatives, where I worked for some 20 years as the director of communications, which also brought me into a lot of the media world, I need to say. So I also served on the PNB board for a while in the early 2000s, or coming up to about 2007, thereabouts, until 2014. I don't know, Alex, where to go with this. I mean, I also am very concerned about fundraising for community radio stations. And let me just say, I also have been involved with the development of more community radio stations in the South quite a few years ago when there were frequencies that were opened up for the country, actually. I worked with some folks to identify some areas in the South where we could perhaps start some more community radio stations. One of them was in Albany, Georgia, and in South Carolina and elsewhere. So that was an interesting facet of work as well. I agree that we need to do a lot in terms of fundraising and more solidarity, I think, amongst the affiliate stations around the country, and also for Pacifica to acknowledge more of the importance of the affiliate stations and the importance of community radio and getting information out to the community just generally and all the wonderful work that's being done all over the country. I do need to say, as far as Pacifica is concerned and the founding of WRFG, Radio Free Georgia, we are actually the only community radio station here in the city of Atlanta. But I need to say, when it was founded in 1972, the founder of our station, Harlan Joy, was in New York. So he was inspired by WBAI, which is why we have our station today, because he realized, as far as organizing work on civil rights and any number of issues that he was involved with, that community radio was a way to get information out to the community overall. So that's what we've done. And the thing that I appreciate about our radio station is that, it was created in 1972. I was not involved with the station until the 1990s, but it has been a vehicle to bring both blacks and whites together to dialogue more than probably any other entity in the city of Atlanta in the 1970s, certainly. And the thing that's important about our radio station also is that we have such a variety of cultures represented. So we have our public affairs shows, we have our bluegrass, we have our blues, we have everything from the African diaspora and the Caribbean represented in our station. So I'm real proud of that. Alex, I don't know where else to go with this. That's just some of the background.
It's up to you, Heather, want to talk about.
And let me just say, I realize the importance of Pacifica Radio. It's just so incredibly important, not just for here in the United States, but the impact of community radio, thanks to Lou Hill, when he created it in the late 1940s, because he realized the importance of the community having a voice and not being controlled by corporate America, per se, at all, actually. But the inspiration has not just been for the development of more community radio stations in the United States, but also on the African continent and in the Caribbean and so forth. So, I've been fortunate to also live in other parts of the world, in Australia, in Singapore, in the Philippines. And when I was in the Philippines, actually, in the late 1980s, there was also a discussion there about the importance of some kind of community radio community overall in the Philippines. And I know that it was also inspired by the likes of Pacifica and community radio here in the United States. So it's just important. And I'll just leave it at that, Alex.
Okay. Who would like to ask questions?
Bill.
Bill?
Jan.
Okay.
Jan.
Bill, Jan. Who else? Anybody else? Okay. Bill, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Heather. Appreciate your applying and the information given about your background. And I'll just try to be fair to everybody and try to ask about the same kind of questions about finances. As you know, we've been running deficits for every year for a long time, and listenership's down and membership's down. Any ideas? What would you do to help with get more listeners and get our funding up, get our revenue up?
Well, you can just leave them out there if you might want to eat more.
And
Dan,
I think you need to mute yourself.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But that was my question for you, Heather.
Well, you know, Bill, I think that one of the critical problems that Pacifica faces is that it chose to take the healthy station route, you know, where producers are paid and so forth. Now, our station chose not to do that. I think that that's made a difference, because to me, it means that some of the stations are not as amenable to community involvement as they could or should be. I think that that's one of the reasons why there's so much, one of the reasons why there's a lot of debt in Pacifica right now. So I don't know if that answers your question, but if I am on the board, that's something I'd like to explore a little bit more. And I need to say that at one of the Pacifica meetings that I attended at KPFA, I could see that there was almost a class structure going on here between the paid producers and those who were not paid, and that concerned me. I need to say that I often think about Lou Hill. He wouldn't appreciate that. I don't think he'd appreciate that at all, actually. So I think that's problematic. I do think
Hello?
That there could be more solidarity, actually, with Pacifica and also community radio stations across the country to be raising money altogether. And I think that some of the funders would be amenable to that also and would help us with that.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I'd like to be on the spec. Thank you.
Okay, Lawrence, I got you. Jan is next.
Thank you, Heather.
Yes. Thank you, Heather. Thank you so much for applying. So I wanted to ask you what your experience is in accounting and also in fundraising. And also, I know this is pretty broad, and also your relationship, if any, to other affiliate stations. Like, are you in any organizations with them, or do you have informal relationships with them since, you know, your function is to be represent affiliates?
Okay, so I'm on the GRC list. You know, was quite involved with Ursula Rutenberg when I was on the Pacifica Board before, when we would have meetings with various affiliate stations and so forth. There are not enough community radio stations in the South, period. And we lost a lot, actually, of community radio when that Healthy Station project was being launched. But, as I said, we managed to create some more when some of the frequencies opened up, so that was a good thing. So I do what I can to help the station in Albany, which is a relatively new station. I need to say that it was started by Charles Sherrod and Shirley Sherrod, who are major organizers in the movement in the 1960s. And then also some in Florida, but we don't have enough affiliations, I think, with the community radio stations that we have in the South, and that needs to be improved. So my association with affiliates has largely been through the Pacifica Network overall and with Ursula and so forth in the GRC. So now, as far as accounting is concerned, I'm not an accountant, but I am a fundraiser, and I have worked on countless grants, doing a lot of research in my work with the Federation of Southern Cooperatives. So one of my primary jobs at the Federation of Southern Cooperatives was from 1998 to 2013 to work with farmers on the Black Farmer lawsuit that was filed, the largest class action lawsuit ever filed against the U.S. government. So I was working with farmers to file their claims and so forth. So that also required writing a lot of grants, and which I did consistently, actually, to get financial support for us to work with farmers on that. So that's some of my background.
Lawrence, you're next.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for postulating yourself, Heather. We served on the board together some years ago. Don't remember
yeah.
when.
Right.
Right. And
okay.
I appreciate your work. I appreciate your work with the farmers. But if
you
could revisit that time, because that was the tumultuous time, too, where we had to make some tough decisions, and we were at the opposite end of those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just revisit that, what did you learn from that experience?
Well, I learned that there was, of course, a lot of divisiveness on the board, But that's true with, I think, most boards, actually. I do think there needs to be more consensus in terms of some kind of plans. I appreciate the discussion about some kind of fundraising ideas that need to be developed. But I realized that there were on the board a lot of people with very different missions, and there was not a consensus. So I think as far as the board of directors, the PNB, is concerned, that we need to – well, okay, so I'm, let me step back here for a moment and say that as far as the United States is concerned, I think that and as far as Dr. King's Steps of Nonviolent Social Change are concerned, first of all, you need to identify the problem, and then you need to have a dialogue about what it is you want changed for it to be implemented. And I think we didn't do enough of that on the Pacifica board when I was on the board. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but I do think there needs to be more dialogue about what we want. Now, the United States overall is in a state of disarray, I think, largely because of the McCarthy era and the Cold War, because there's not been an opportunity to really have a dialogue about economic systems. Well, the same applies to an organization that is not functioning the way people feel that it should be. And I think it's because there's not really an honest dialogue about, as Dr. King would say, where do we go from here? What do we really want? And I think there needs to be more of that. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's some of what I think should be done. There needs to be more dialogue about the views that people have and what can be done to improve the situation overall. I hope that answers some of the questions.
It comes close. I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Well, there was a lot of divisiveness, and that's
yeah, there was. There was a lot of stuff that was going on, yeah.
That's problematic,
I was just hoping that you could just recap some of that. And, I'm a firm believer that you do have to identify the problem in order to get to the solution. I was just wondering if there's something that you could glean from that time that it made you wiser or stronger in terms of character. I think you have a strong character, but something that made you wiser, because Dr. Martin Luther King was a wise man, so was Malcolm X. So
exactly.
I'm just wondering if you were able to get any wisdom from that experience.
Well, I mean, I think the wisdom, actually, which is probably not necessarily specific to Pacifica, but it's just that I think if there is divisiveness, then somehow people need to come together to begin to dialogue and hear what the concerns are, hear what people have to say, with the goal of coming up with some kind of solution. And I think Pacifica didn't do enough of that at that time. Maybe there is more now, but I think there needs to be more of that, so that there is a consensus or some kind of game plan. The thing is, as far as Martin Luther King is concerned, people always refer to him as "I have a dream." Well, Dr. King was about a lot more than dreaming. He was about coming up with strategies on what to do. So I'm mentioning this because I've been doing a fair amount of writing about Dr. King lately. And I think that we all have lessons to learn from coming together and dialoguing and hearing other people's views and then seeing what can be fused, what can be done to change the situation or to move forward. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, no, I'm on board. I'm on board with that.
That's the best I can do with that.
Reconciliation is
exactly
a goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we have a couple more minutes. Does anybody else want to ask Heather a question? Okay, well, Heather,
I'd like to ask a question, Alex. It's Grace.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Grace.
Heather, what do you think is the biggest strength of your affiliate station?
Well, what I was saying earlier is that I think the biggest strength is the diversity of the cultures represented.
I didn't hear the question.
I just asked what the greatest strength Heather feels. What her station's greatest strength is.
Let me repeat that. Grace asked what she thinks her station's greatest strength is.
So I think the greatest strength is what I mentioned earlier, Grace, which is the diversity of the station and the representation of so many different cultures. There is absolutely nothing like this in Georgia, or certainly the city of Atlanta, that has this diversity. And as I said, we've brought together the white working class, the black community, the folks from the Caribbean, the African continent, various public affairs programs covering the environment, animal rights, people's rights, of course, civil rights, and labor rights. I mean, it's just wonderful in that sense. There's nothing else like this. To me, it's just a wonderful model, not just for our station, but for the country, really, to come together. So that's a strength, in my opinion.
Mr. Chair, for the last minute, may I indulge?
Yeah, go ahead, Dwight. You haven't spoken yet.
Well, I think I was following her pretty good in terms of trying to narrow down what her contribution would be. And I think that's the whole purpose for my interviewing tonight, is to find out what your contribution would be. What is your desire to serve on this board? What capacity by which you bring your skills, talent, energy, and put forth for the foundation? That was previous questions I asked the previous person. But I kind of like for you to expand upon the difference between the working class white community and the black community. It seems as though you kind of yoked the black community as just one example, but you specifically cited the working class community. Are you familiar with the fact that there are working class and upper class and
absolutely
lower class,
no
and
question,
all classes
absolutely
as well,
absolutely, and all of those classes are represented at the station too.
It was a little dirt.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And all of these various classes are represented at the radio station, which is appreciated, actually. And
yeah,
it's really interesting because I've talked with some of the early organizers.
Ralph, I'm losing. I may fade out, but I'm going to listen if I come back in. Thanks again, and excuse me.
So I wanted to say that early in the piece, at WRG, this was I've talked to some of the early organizers who said they never had an opportunity to talk with a diversity of people like they had at the station. So it has provided that opportunity. And yes, as far as class is concerned, and certainly with the work that I've done at the Federation of Southern Cooperatives working with black farmers, you know, this is addressing all of the various class issues. Absolutely. With blacks and whites and so forth. I don't know if that makes sense.
Time
I don't know if I answered the question. Pardon me?
I said time is up.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Heather. And let me just say that I occasionally listen to WRFG, and it's a wonderful station.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Our next candidate is Alexander Randall. Alex, go ahead.
Good evening. First, I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to be considered for service on the Pacifica board again. I am Alex Randall. I was a member of this board during the calendar year 2018, and I was honored to serve then, and I would be honored to serve again. I am a Quaker. I'm a pacifist. I'm a university professor. I teach radio broadcasting, also public speaking and digital entrepreneurship. And my main topic these days is creative problem solving. I believe in community radio and specifically non-commercial listener-sponsored radio. My involvement with Pacifica goes back to the 1960s when I listened to WBAI. As a college freshman at Princeton, I installed a special antenna on my dorm roof just so that I could pick up the signal. In the years that I lived in Houston, I listened to KPFD, and years when I was in Palo Alto, KPFA. And when I created the University of the Virgin Islands radio station, my first act was to make WVI a Pacifica affiliate and to broadcast Pacifica content, because I believe in what we do at Pacifica. I am a very strong proponent of developing the affiliate network. I think this is our greatest strength, and it's underrealized. With 220 affiliates, we are comparable in size to NBC Network, larger than CBS, and four times larger than ABC. That means that Pacifica could be huge if we work with the affiliates in a constructive and supportive manner. But we seem to treat the affiliates as an afterthought. I applaud what I heard from Robin just a few moments ago. I would run on a ticket with Robin. He and I speak the same language, clearly. Now, I recognize that the five owned stations require most of the board Simon concern, and I agree that they deserve the full concern. But as a representative of the affiliates, I'll try to figure out how to work with the board majority and support a board majority so that we develop allies, that when we're trying to get something done for the affiliates, we have people who will work with the affiliates. I believe in creating initiatives that will make Pacifica thrive. In the year that I was on the board, I worked on the plan to get WBI's transmitter out of the Empire State Building to save money. And I note that I'm sitting now in Princeton, New Jersey. I can still hear WBAI even in the new transmitter location. In that year, we also approved a plan to make the affiliate budget visible and identifiable. And that has been a success. And I noticed from what I heard from Robin that the affiliate organization has also grown during the last year. This is a boon to the affiliates. I've heard all the questions, so I might as well answer a few of them. Now that I was listening to WBAI on October the 7th, was quite surprised to hear the insurrection. I don't support the idea of shutting down a station, but I do support the idea that stations have to be self-sufficient and be able to pay their own bills. And listening to several of the five owned stations, I noticed that we spend a great deal of time selling CDs. We call it membership and we'll give you a premium, but in fact what we're doing is selling CDs, and we're selling food supplements. And if you wonder why we lose listeners, we do because we actually devote more time to our own commercials than a commercial station devotes to the commercials that it sells to outsiders. Now, if you actually sit, as I have with Stopwatch, and time the amount of time that's spent repeating the phone number, asking people to join, we actually spend more time in our own commercials than if you listen to a commercial station with the amount of time that they devote to their commercials. If we don't reverse that, we are going to lose listeners. We're consistently losing listeners. Answering another one of the questions, I think
Lawrence on the stack, please, Chair.
In order for Pacifica to grow, we have to move beyond.
Let Alex Randall finish his statement before asking to be on the stack.
Thank you. For Pacifica to grow, we have to grow beyond just radio. The youth of America now is on social media. We have a man in the White House who uses Twitter to communicate with the masses, and somehow we still sound like FDR doing fireside chats. Now, a final thought here is that this board has been contentious in the past. I will not be contentious. I'm a Quaker. I believe in decision-making by consensus. I will always strive to ensure that decisions are made so that they incorporate the needs of the minority, that every voice must be heard and every voice must be understood, and the concerns of the minorities always must be included in any solution or resolution that comes out as a final decision. Further, I will never weaponize Robert's Rules of Order. You will not hear me try to gum up the works or stymie the board's functioning with time-consuming trivia. I believe in getting things done. It would be my honor to serve the board. I look forward to working with the board for the greater good of the Pacifica Foundation.
Thank you. Okay. I can ask who wants to be on the stack.
Lawrence on the stack, please.
Lawrence. Anybody else?
Bill?
Jan.
Okay.
Jan.
Okay, we'll start with that. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. Mr. Randall, you're living in New Jersey, right?
I'm currently living in New Jersey. That's correct.
Okay. I got sisters up. But my question is, what association or role are you playing with the Virgin Islands station that you're wishing to represent as an affiliate director?
Well, I created that radio station. I built it from empty rooms to full-functioning station. I continue to teach at the University of the Virgin Islands long distance using video technology. So I continue to be involved with it. For reasons that have nothing to do with the radio station or the university, I had to move my family to New Jersey. So I'm physically here. I'm still engaged with the facilities there. And while I'm here, I'm in a better position to listen to some of the other radio stations that I was less able to participate in when I was living in the Virgin Islands.
Okay, thank you.
Bill?
Okay, thank you, Alex, for applying again and for your introduction. Ask basically the same question I was asking the others. You know, we've been having deficits for many years from Pacifica. It's getting very serious. Our finances are. What would you do? What would you suggest to help us get more listeners, get more revenue, get our finances under control?
I think one of the key things here is that we have to stop trying to get more listeners by asking them on the radio. We do that all the time. You can't go in a channel of communication and ask people to listen to that channel of communication. So it doesn't help for a newspaper to put an ad in the newspaper that says read our newspaper. In the same way, it doesn't help a radio station go on the air and say listen to our station. We have to develop collateral media. We barely scratched the surface. Several of the owned stations have a web presence, basically like a bulletin board that says this is what we have on the radio. But we aren't treating the internet like it's a channel of communication. We treat it like it's something foreign to us, that we are, and I'll put it in quotes, we are a radio network. We are a communication channel. We are a vehicle for the people to speak to those in power. We are more than radio stations. And if we don't address that, we will never get past being radio stations. It's not to diminish the value of radio. I'm a proponent of radio. But we have to go into other channels in order to get people to know that we exist. That's point one. Point two, we absolutely have to fix the problem with our programming that we spend far too much time begging for money on the air, selling CDs on the air, selling food supplements on the air, and not having something on the air that's worth listening to. I'm listening to WBAI now every day, and I'm just appalled at how much time is spent on things that are not content people want to listen to. People don't tune into the radio to listen to us ask for money. They come to the station to listen for the content that we uniquely provide in the world. And then we gum up the works with all of the marathoning and the begging and the pleading. And go listen to a commercial radio station. They are selling 30-second spots to the world. They're selling 60-second spots to the world. We drone on for 30 minutes at a time about send us money. No wonder no one listens.
Okay, thank you.
Jan, you are on next.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you for applying again. More, oops, oh, sorry. I'm very happy that you've applied again. And I wanted to ask you to talk about how you think we could raise money at Pacifica. What do you, you know, we know that droning on and on and on is not being a very effective way of doing it, and I'm wondering if you have some other, if you have any thoughts that you could share with us about that.
First off, Jan, thank you very much for welcoming me back to this. It really was a fraught decision to reapply for this. This is not an easy board to work on, but I really believe in what we do at Pacifica, and I believe that we need to change our direction or we're going to we'll cease to be relevant. Raising funds requires that we have a product that's fund-worthy, and that's job one. That has to be addressed. We badly need another national program of the caliber of Democracy Now. If you look at the demographics, all of our stations show people tuning in for Democracy Now, whether it's on the affiliates or the owned stations. They tune in for Democracy Now, and then they bail out. There's a spike in listenership for Democracy Now. That tells us that that caliber of content is what people want to hear. We need to cultivate another two or three programs of that caliber that we distribute to the affiliates, that the affiliates look at and go, this is great stuff, and all choose to put it on the air. If we had 200 stations all running two or three national programs coming out of Pacifica, we would have a national network that the world paid attention to. And that brings money. The money comes when we're good enough. So immediate short term, do I have a magic wand? No, I don't have a magic wand. I do think that it would be fruitful to pursue grants. But I also am leery of grant writing and grant seeking because it has all the problems of corporate finance. That as soon as you're beholden to the Knight Foundation or the Pew Foundation, now you have to toe their line. So the real magic here is to develop a cluster of programs that are national in scope, that are high caliber, that make people tune in, stay tuned in, and we don't drive them away with inane content. Side note on that inane content, I was listening to just in the last week, I've heard the same program over and over and over again on one of the five owned stations. Same content, hour after hour, same recorded content. You can't get listeners that way. You just can't. They go away.
Grace for the stack?
Go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome back, Randall. I hope you I'm glad you're applying again for a director position. I'd like to ask you a question. I wholeheartedly agree that improved programming will help Pacifica and must be done. However, the facts of the matter are that the health programming, first of all, in New York, the health programming has a higher listenership, the regular normal health programming at WBAI has higher listenership out of outside morning drive time than Amy Goodman has in morning drive time. Also, at KPFK, the strongest support is given to our health premiums and health programming, and obviously, because it's bringing in so much money, somebody must be listening. It's not true that nobody's listening. Over 50% of our income is coming from, I'd say, health programming at KPFK and at WBAI. So how do we factor that in? We also know that political programming is maybe have high listenership at times, but is not supported financially by our listeners or members to the degree it used to be. So how do we deal with that as a conundrum?
Well, there's no reason why we don't have a national health program. Where's the Democracy Now! Program that's national health? And where's our Amy Goodman who can put together a show that capitalizes on that? If we're getting money from the health programming, then build on that. But build on that in a manner that uses your 220 affiliates and ties them in. And what I hear listening to the stations I'm hearing is content, some of which is good, some of which is not so good. I would love to hear a health program that was of high caliber and that made people sit up and take notice. And in a sense, what we've done is to identify a niche and to cultivate that niche. Never kill off the golden goose. Law one of the universe. You got something that's working, keep the thing that's working. But the stuff that isn't working, the stuff that's that's marginal, the incessant begging, you just can't do that and expect to have people continue to listen. And it's not the informative health program I have a problem with. It's the one that's just droning on and on and on about the same things. We have to be very careful about what caliber of content we put into the world. And if we had a really good national health program, we could buoy up everybody with it. Now, obviously Democracy Now! Is hitting a politics theme, but there are lots of other themes that could be picked up. There could be a national show on entrepreneurship. There could be a national show on civil rights. There could be a national show on minorities. There could be all kinds of national programming that came out of Pacifica. There could be I could go on. But I think that the point is that we have to identify content that we uniquely have that we can package in a way that all of the stations can benefit from it. And what I hear far too much of is such – I'm a proponent of hyperlocal news, but you can get to a point where the station is so local that it isn't connected in nationally with anything. We need to be able to cultivate that national presence.
Ron to the stack.
Thank you.
Ron,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Jay Lawrence, okay. At the end of the stack, please.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. My question for you is this. The network has been flirting with the idea of underwriting for years, but it's never materialized. I'd like to get your thoughts on some type of Pacifica-centric underwriting. I mean, when I call it Pacifica-centric, because it means, you know, that, you know, the underwriters would, first of all, we would make our own rules about it as to who we would accept underwriting from and such, and how that's governed. And I say Pacifica-centric because, you know, we want people to underwrite programs that are in line with Pacifica's mission. I'd like to get your thoughts about the possibility of underwriting.
I agree with an earlier comment that we need a development office. It's crazy to have an organization this scale that doesn't have an executive working on development. And I recognize that the whole topic of underwriting is a fraught topic. We have cultivated a concept of ourselves that we reject everybody's money, which is pretty crazy when you think we need everybody's money. I personally would sell 30-second spots to organizations that we found to be not obnoxious, that we were willing to stomach, in the manner that PBS stations take underwriting. It's not evil to take underwritten money from organizations that are compadres, they're companions of ours, they're on the same track. But we have this concept of ourselves that we don't have anybody's, we don't take anybody's money if it seems the slightest bit tainted, and that's killing us. So I would endorse some underwriting. I would do it very carefully. But I think it's about survival, and survival calls for not compromising our principles, but it calls for being astute about how we bring other people's money in. Getting that underwriting requires that we have outstanding content. I come back to that. We can't do this if the people we talk to at potential affiliate stations listen to us and go, all you do is ask for money, then they're not going to come on board. And that works whether it's an affiliate or whether it's an underwriter. But I'm not opposed to underwriting.
Okay. I think, Lawrence, you wanted to get in one last question. I think we're almost out of time, but go ahead. Lawrence?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, disregard it. Oh, yeah, no. Actually,
I'll take
it. I'd love to know if we can spend time to bring back the affiliate candidates for about an additional 15 minutes.
I second the motion.
Could you clarify, you want to extend time for 15 minutes for what?
To add the affiliate directors, because I'm a little better informed now, I'd like to add all the affiliate directors some questions, some additional questions. And maybe others may.
So you want 15 minutes to be able to ask any of the candidates who, some of them may have left already, I don't know. I don't know if everybody's still here.
Okay. Well, if they left, then disregard it. If it's still on the call, then
I don't know who's still here and who isn't. But it, you know, if somebody wants to second that motion, we could certainly consider it.
Dwayne seconded the motion.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Bill, Chair, just real quick, can the secretary do like a shout out to see if any of the candidates are still with us?
That's what sure. I was going to ask.
Okay. Sure. Chen Zero.
Actually, I can see that they're all still on.
Okay. Yes, Eileen, can you check?
They're all still on. Everybody's on.
Zero. Okay,
everybody's
off. Except maybe Robin.
That's okay.
Well, Kyle's here.
Who?
No, it's okay. I don't have any further questions.
I can understand you, Eileen. Could you speak slower or something?
Yeah, all four of the candidates are here.
Oh, all four.
Ask them if they're on the line.
She can see.
We're saying that they are. We're saying we're here. We're here. This is Dr. Sincero.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screen that's got the list of people on
okay,
this call.
Okay, so we have a motion to extend for 15 minutes for kind of a general question and answer for any candidate. Do we have a second for that motion? We do. Dwayne seconded it. So are there any objections? Okay. Seeing
James,
no objections,
have a question?
Seeing no objections, we move on. James,
Dwayne,
what is your question?
My question is, I didn't hear, I may have missed it, but are all of the candidates still here or only some of
yes.
them?
Yes.
Yes, thank
they're
you.
All still here.
Thank you.
Okay.
Dwayne for the stack.
Okay, Bill for the stack.
Dwayne, Bill, anybody else?
Ron.
Lawrence. Okay, well, okay, that's all for now. Dwayne, go ahead. You were first.
Okay, thank you. I've been around the foundation for a few years now. Listening as a teenager and being on the local board for about 12 years now and the national for about 2 years and 2 months. So, Heather, this is a question for you because there was some rumors I'd heard as a board chair that I wasn't familiar with enough with the national. But I think since you are on the line, I can ask you straight up. Did you...
One more
were you
time. We're out here and I'm running out of signal. If I go out, it'll be because my signal is gone. Thank you. I'm listening intently.
Okay, Heather, this is a yes or no question. As vice chair, did you sign a contract without the PMB approval and was considered invalid by a California court?
Oh, that's a good question. the board had approved the election of Summer Reese, right? So what I did was to work really hard to make sure that the contract with her, because a lot of staff had sued Pacifica, I wanted to make sure that it was a good contract so that there would not be another lawsuit against Pacifica. So that was my job was to do this, was to figure out about the contract. So then they didn't appreciate it. So You're asking about the court in California, but I can't really answer that adequately. I was just doing what I was supposed to do. That's all I can say.
Well, as a follow-up, did you bring the final contract language to the board before you signed the contract?
Well, the contract. Well, no, I didn't, because the contract was signed by those of us who were working on it, and the board had approved the nomination. So I didn't.
Okay, that's fine. You answered the question. Thank you.
Okay. Bill, you're next.
Okay, thank you. This is a question for all of you. Several of you already touched on this about the affiliate program. How can we use the affiliate program more effectively to help Pacifica's finances and to promote Pacifica's brand and our programs across the country? And maybe Alex should just call names of them so they can all answer.
Okay. Well, I don't know if we have time for everyone to answer one question, so could you direct your question to one of the candidates, Bill?
Well, I just think it's fair for all of them. Maybe just each of them could throw out one thing quickly. Would that work so it could be brief?
We should develop a strategic approach to how we can have a
excuse me.
I
don't know who that was, but please don't speak out of turn. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, I was just trying to answer the question briefly. It would be in our best interest to really establish a strategic approach to engage all of the affiliates. We need to find out what is working, what's not working, and how we can actually come together and generate the resources using all these creative initiatives that are available from each and every member of this particular board of directors and abroad. Yeah.
Robin?
Go ahead, Mr. Collier.
Well, I mean, I think the most important thing would be to develop a program that the affiliates do branding of Pacifica. For example, on our station, we several times a day explain who Pacifica is, how it got started, why we carry Pacifica programming. So we're constantly promoting the concept of Pacifica. Affiliates can't directly fundraise for Pacifica because FCC prohibits that. You can't fundraise for another nonprofit. But if we could get the affiliates to just build up the branding of the Pacifica network, it could draw in donors and, again, identify every time they play a Pacifica program that it's coming from the Pacifica network.
Okay. Heather, did you want to say anything on this?
About how the affiliates could play a role in advancing Pacifica, period? Is that really the question?
Yeah.
Could you phrase that again?
I think that was
yeah.
I think
that the question?
Was it. Yeah.
Well, actually, when I was serving on the Pacifica board some time ago, we were exploring ways to do some kind of national fundraising that would include both the Pacifica stations and the affiliate stations. And I think that there is definitely an opportunity to do that kind of thing. I also appreciate the comments from some of the candidates when talking about the use of the internet also as a way to promote a lot of the work that we're doing. I think we could have a much more coordinated effort, period, you know, to advance community radio all over the country. And again, I need to say that, this is not just an American phenomenon. This is international. And what we've done in the United States as far as community radio is concerned has had huge impact. Like I observed the elections in South Africa in 1994, And I went into an office somewhere, and I saw, actually, it was a WRFG, I mean, I did say our Atlanta station, but there was a poster there. The point is, and I've also talked with farmers on the African continent who recognize the importance of community radio to get information out to people about what's happening in agriculture. Anyway, the point is, I think we can have much more of a coordinated effort, both by Pacifica stations and the affiliates overall, to do a lot more to promote the work that we're doing and the importance of the work that we're doing. And I think that there would be individuals in the country with resources and well-known, you know, like Danny Glover, for example, to help us with this kind of thing. So, yeah, I think there's great opportunity to have more of a coordinated effort. Absolutely.